What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man who's really beginning to appreciate slip-on shoes, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Yeah, I guess when coming back to work like I have, and I am actually not only enjoying slip-on shoes, I'm enjoying wearing a uniform again. I just kind of made my own uniform with a polo shirt and khaki pants, but I kind of think of myself like I'm at one of the Catholic elementary schools around here. But I wear it every day just because it's simple and it's easy to clean, and I got multiples. I can just, so slip-on shoes are good.
Were you one of those kids growing up that always seemed to have one shoe that was untied? It seems like our son always seemed to have a shoe that was untied. Even if we double knotted everything, there was always that left shoe that seemed to just like come off, just like come undone. And, he didn't seem to mind, but we were always bent over trying to teach them how to tie shoes.
I'm convinced that when I was a kid, that's when they invented Velcro.
Right.
And they put that to good use on shoes. And I remember getting those as kids. And then I remember my dad in his older years.
Right.
It makes all the sense in the world. Why get down and tie your shoe when you can just Velcro it? So that's what he did. Yeah.
I was watching a reel on one of the evenings that I was scrolling through really important things like cat videos. And one of the moms was complaining that the school supply list said that the children should have a pair of Velcro closed shoes, no shoestrings. Mm. And she was like, why can't they just bend over and tie their shoes when they come undone? Well, she obviously doesn't have four kids the way we do, or had a classroom full of 25 children. Well, you double that, that's 50. And if all of those shoes are untied, well, that teacher is going to spend half the morning tying up shoes. I believe that is why maybe now you keep that image of Our Lady Undoer of Knots on your phone, because I have prayed many a time getting kids ready in the morning thinking I should have gotten those Velcro shoes, because whatever they did, their shoes were knotted up. And Our Lady, well, she takes care of those messes in our lives, doesn't
absolutely.
She?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Undoer of Knots image is just beautiful. But yeah, almost every time, just to carry this point a little bit forward, every time I go to untie my dress shoe, it invariably ends up in a knot if I'm in a hurry, which I think is just a mindfulness of us that, just from a spiritual standpoint, we're in a hurry. We try to undo things fast, and maybe we don't need to do them as fast. Maybe we need to be a little bit more thoughtful and take time. So yeah, that's the, I guess, the moral of the story for Velcro shoes.
Well, I kind of think of our Lord in giving us Our Lady Undoer of Knots, because he looks at the mess and the knots and the tangles that we get into, and he thinks, you all on earth need some help. Remember that time when I gave you my mother at the foot of my cross? Call Amen. On her right now, right?
Amen.
She is always there, like a mother, like a school teacher, like a parent, trying to help kids get the knots out of your shoes. And then once it's all straightened out, you just kind of sit and look with them and say, all right, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to take these two, and then it's going to go through the hole, and you straighten it out, and you just kind of walk them through, right? If we relied on Our Lady, we're just too busy. We're just, Mary, just give us the Velcro shoes, because, it's just going to be real easy. And I think Mary is, in the way that she does, just like now, just take a moment.
Right.
I've got it straightened out, and you need to do this through the process, and it'll all be good. It's how we should look at life all of the time.
It's a theology of shoes.
Oh, well, school is back in swing, and I've seen every day all of the school buses are out driving their routes. They're in our neighborhood picking up kids, dropping them off. And it's just really that time of life where, that we all look back and we remember, adults especially, I remember those days.
Right.
Remember those days. Well, coming up on today's show, Ilya Samo, the Director of Catholic Education here for the Archdiocese of Portland. He's going to be joining us. We're going to be checking in on our Catholic schools this year, what is going on, and more importantly, about how it is that we can be lifelong learners. Scott, our time to learn things, it did not end years and years ago. We got to keep that up throughout our lives.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there was a study done on nuns in France, and the length of time that they spent learning actually added to the length of time that their brain stayed intact. And mm-hmm. so the amount of dementia or Alzheimer's was so low in this community because they were lifelong learning. And so I think there's something to be said for that we shouldn't just rest on our laurels ever in this life, but that we should always be striving to know more deeply the truths that God places before us.
Well, Scott, you most definitely are my model for being a lifelong learner. We're going to talk more about that. We got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew. Stay with us.
Please join me, Sister Krista von Borstel, in this prayer to Saint Sebastian. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glorious Sebastian, martyr and saint, I call on your strength and courage to help me through this difficult trial. Your faith was so deep, a multitude of arrows could not finish you. The piercing wounds inflicted for your faith only proved to strengthen your belief. May you intercede for those who are weakened from the effects of disease. I ask for your intercession that I may also survive that which threatens to destroy my beliefs in the mercy of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources, please visit our website at materdayradio.com or check the prayer section on the new Hail Mary Media app.
With the autumn season comes football and tailgating, and there's no better way to score a touchdown than by passing that old vehicle of yours to Mater Dei Radio. We're happy to accept your donation of a car, truck, van, RV, or boat. It's quick and easy and a likely tax deduction for you. Not only that, you are joining a winning team that's supporting a faith-filled Catholic broadcast. So score some points by checking out our vehicle donation program at materdeiradio.com.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
It's exciting as you pull into any of our Catholic schools to see children so happy to be back in the swing of things. There are great programs offered every single year and some new ones that are being rolled out for our Archdiocese here in Portland. Joining us this morning to let you know how our Catholic schools are doing and some of these great new programs, it is Ilya Samo. He is the Director of Catholic Education for the Archdiocese of Portland. Joining us this morning to give us a great update. Good morning, Elias. It's been a while. Thanks for joining us again on the morning show.
It has been. Good morning, Brenda. Thank you for having me.
So you are now, you kind of got your legs under you. You're really knowing all of our Catholic schools. Just looking back at last year, overall, how exciting was this year of school?
Yeah, we had a great year. A lot of blessings poured out by the Lord, I think, through the work of our Catholic school teachers and leadership and the communities. And, you know, as we head into this current academic year that's just starting, there's a lot of hope, I will say. There's a lot of hope for the future. And especially, I think, a lot of hope when it comes to the vision for the mission of Catholic education in our Catholic schools. as we have been reflecting on with our pastors and school leaders across the Archdiocese over the past, what now, almost 2 years.
Yeah. Ilias, now with all of these changes, you had maybe a sense of what our Archbishop was hoping for, his vision. Do you now feel like you understand what our Archbishop wants and loves about our Catholic schools and how through his vision we're going to be able to kind of jump off of that one as we head into this new school year?
Absolutely. And I will say, I think we are definitely of one mind and in heart, Archbishop Sample and I, when it comes to understanding really what the church herself is calling for the mission of Catholic education, holistically, right? Because we know that Catholic education actually manifests in a variety of ways, Catholic schools being one of them, and mm-hmm. one of the important ways, as Archbishop Sample has said, that we have here in the Archdiocese of Portland, but also too, right, with respect to the mission of the family as the first school of children, with respect to religious education at parishes, with respect to homeschoolers too, right, as a manifestation of the mission of Catholic education. So I would say one, that he and I are of one heart and mind, and two, that really his vision is actually the church's vision, I would argue. If some people perhaps think, well, this is just Archbishop Sample's particular way of talking about or thinking about what should be happening in the Catholic school, I might actually have a different perspective and encourage a reframe of that and say, no, actually, I think Archbishop Sample is just calling us to the heart of the church. And the phrase that he has used here that hopefully people in the Archdiocese of Portland are familiar with from the ACA video a couple years ago is mission passionate Catholic education.
Okay.
Right? That what the church herself is calling for is that we have Catholic schools that are passionate, that are zealous about being witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ in Catholic schools, and that there's actually like very, very concrete implications of what that is. And that's what really this vision for mission passionate Catholic education is. And so to help define that and to help pastors and leaders and teachers understand exactly what that means and what the implications of that are for them. Yeah, we have published a playbook, if you will. We're calling it our mission playbook, which is a guiding document, our north point, if you will, on the compass that says, yeah, this is what should be happening in a Catholic school classroom. This is what the formation, the learning should be. This is what the school culture should be like. These are the institutional markers and characteristics that pastors and principals should be tending to in a Catholic school environment. And so maybe to put a plug, right, that's available on our website at education.archdpdx.org, and families, teachers, staff, others can just go there and find the full versions of those documents that we're working on with pastors and principals ultimately.
Mission Passionate, I read a little bit about it. Again, it is right on the webpage for Catholic education in our Archdiocese. Ilias, you and I are also of the same vision idea as far as passion for Catholic education and helping our children know and love Christ and our faith. That passion starts at home and a desire for our children to have that Catholic education. You are a parent who is also bringing children up in the faith. So this isn't just an idea that you want families to do, but this is an idea that you are living out in your own household. So for you, I'd love to know how you see the faith of our church, the faith that you and your wife are raising your children in. How is that lived out, and how are you seeing your own children thrive in Catholic education that they're receiving here through the Archdiocese?
Absolutely. What a great question. And I approach my work for the Archdiocese on behalf of the Archbishop, certainly as a professional, but at the same time, too, as a Catholic school parent, if you will, or as a parent who understands. And I will say, how do my wife, Claudia, and I carry it out? We carry it out imperfectly. Let's just say
sure.
that, right?
Yep, we are.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge to be a parent, especially a parent of five rambunctious boys who we absolutely love. But I'll tell you this. My wife and I frequently talk about continue to check ourselves, if you will, right? Why the investment and even the sacrifice, if you will, to send our boys to a Catholic school, Christ the King Catholic School in Milwaukee, which has been a great partner with us as a family. But why, right? And I think it's something that many Catholic school families ask, why? Why all the effort and investment and sacrifice? You know, the desire in our hearts, in mine and Claudia's heart for our boys is actually first and foremost that they would be disciples of Jesus, mm-hmm. that they would come to know and love God, desire to serve Him, and discover the mission that they've been created for, right? The unique vocation that has been imprinted on them by the Father. Whether that's, you know, to be a married man, a husband and father, or, you know, to be a priest, perhaps. That's our desire. And I think that, you know, we definitely share the church's conviction then that our home, is the first school, that Claudia and I are their first teachers and primary educators. Right. And so then that helps at least us. And I think this is the desire even that Archbishop Sample has for how to see the school family partnership. But the desire that we have is that the Catholic school would respect and honor that role and partner with us to be an extension of that, to be a support of that, and to call us to, as parents, to the more that the church herself is calling us to. That's holiness. That's to be a domestic church, a little church. And again, that's where, you know, it's imperfect. That's where like the messiness of family life and human nature kicks in. But it's wonderful, right, to know that we have a support in our parish community, in the parish school community, and the leadership there that's also calling us as parents to that more, to be the parents that the church is calling us to be as first educators, to have our family be in, despite the imperfections, despite the messiness, that place, that sacred place that can nourish and cultivate our boys' discipleship, and then to know that when we send them off to school, right, they're going to be in classroom environments, experiencing the witness of men and women who love the Lord too. And in those environments, you know, studying science in a way that allows them to wonder and awe in God's creation, studying mathematics in a way that allows them to be able to see the language that God uses to create the universe. In literature, reading, that they're reading really good books, being able to understand the human story and what sin is, what vice is, and what virtue is, and what holiness means. As they're studying history, that they could actually see history through the lens of salvation history, through the lens of Jesus Christ becoming flesh, God becoming man, right? And then how history all leads up to that and flows from that point. So to know, right, and to have the confidence that when they go to school, they'll have those foundations supported through the learning, through the witness and testimony of the adults that are there. It's the harmony, I think, that the church calls for, because that's actually the word that the church uses in her teaching, that there needs to be the sanctuary of education where the family, the school, and the church are in harmony, working together. Ultimately, what to cultivate the children as disciples of Jesus Christ, right?
Oh, your passion for education, obviously, of your own children is what feeds you to be able to be passionate about education for all families in the Archdiocese of Portland. And Ilias, before we end today, you know, we've been focusing a lot on our Catholic schools, but through the Office of Catholic Education, you're beginning to offer services for our parishes and their faith formation programs. One of the new things that you're offering parishes to is a confirmation program, maybe one that kind of doesn't look at confirmation as kids often do as their graduation, but a continuation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we're really excited about this as well. In fact, it seems like it's something inspired by the Holy Spirit, but many people here in the Archdiocese of Portland would know that Archbishop Sample has worked very closely with the John Paul II Healing Institute, which is run by Dr. Bob Schutz, who has done just incredible work in the space of interior healing and renewal. And so there was a conversation that took place where it just became clear that the Holy Spirit was inviting us to renew how we approach confirmation And why? Well, just seeing how critical that was. Unfortunately, the reality being that so many young people today experience confirmation as a bit of a graduation from the faith.
Right.
And Archbishop Sample said, you know, how do we reclaim the power of the Holy Spirit, akin to how we read about in the Acts of the Apostles, right, where people were compelled and impelled to go and proclaim the gospel. And so we're currently in kind of a pilot phase where we have been working with Dr. Bob Schutz and his brother Bart and Archbishop Sample in developing a renewed approach to confirmation, which actually puts confirmation not as the end point, but as the center point of an experience that includes, yes, formation for the confirmandi, but also to formation for families, for parents, formation in Spanish and in English, formation for sponsors as well. So that we're also immersing and inviting them all as a family to experience something, or maybe rediscover or encounter anew the gifts of the Holy Spirit, be renewed in that. But to use that as a launching point for the young person following their confirmation to then receive even more formation around what does it mean to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to live in relationship with the Lord and with the church? And through, thanks be to God, through the gifts and the wisdom of Archbishop Sample, Dr. Bob Schutz, Bart Schutz, who are recording content as well. And we're hoping after this pilot to expand it to more parishes across the Archdiocese, but also the plan is that this would go national and
wow.
would become a program that would be available for any diocese that's looking for something like this.
Well, fantastic. We look forward to that. We look forward to just a great year for our Catholic schools and our faith formation education. Ilias, thank you so very much for being with us and getting us caught up today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Brenda. God bless you.
So Scott, for you and I, our marriage is long, 36 years, and in the time that you and I have been married, you have received your bachelor's degree, and then you went on to receive your master's degree, and then you went on and did the whole education process, which was basically another master's degree in divinity or theology to become a deacon. You have a great love of learning. And just recently, I started going to some classes in the evening with our future daughter-in-law. She is becoming Catholic, and I'm realizing and learning along with her that, boy, what I don't know about the Catholic faith, still a lot, and there's so much that I can learn. It is exciting to continue to learn.
It is, and I think that the recognition of the why becomes clearer, because I'm certain that people, a vast majority of people, go take part in Mass, and it's a perfunctory process. It's something that we do every week. It's something that we've been trained to do every week, and we are habitual by nature. But in the habit, that tends to lead us to complacency in our faith. So then we begin to separate our faith from our life during the week. We come to church, we receive Jesus, we go out to the workplace, but do we really take Jesus to the workplace? And how do we do that? And that's learning at the depth of what is the Mass really preparing us to do? And I think for a lot of adults, they really have, like you had, an eye-opening experience when they go to OCIA and they're sponsoring a person coming into the church and they go, wow, I didn't know that, or I had heard that, but I never made the connection. And so those connections are constantly being made in our life, and revelation of Scripture. That's why we read Scripture over and over again, not to memorize it, but to understand the context and the breadth of salvific history that the Lord has been carrying out with the Jewish community all the way through the Christian community today, that I'm here to bring you home. That's the message that the Lord has been saying all along. And Christ says, I've created a place for you in my Father's house. Would I not come and take you back to myself? So that's, as we understand the context of that breadth of that salvation history, then we have a much greater appreciation, and we can witness more powerfully with authentic voice that this is true. This is objectively true what Christ is teaching us.
I was excited just in the first class that I went to, they went through and explained the rosary. Now, I wasn't learning about how to say the rosary. I say right. my rosary every day. I know how to do that. What I found exciting about it was here was this room full of people who didn't know how to pray the rosary, and how exciting it seemed to me to be able to see it again through their eyes. For somebody who's never prayed the rosary before, how does saying this prayer over and over and over again draw you closer to Jesus? A prayer that's not about him, it's a prayer to Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. And I loved learning about it again. But we've also learned, like, you know, everybody is on their journey. Everybody is learning in different ways. And, you know, we are still continuing to see our children learn and grow, and see how our oldest daughter is now considering her next level of education versus how our son, who went, yeah, formal education, college, no thank you. Give me a toolbox, sit me in front of an engine. I'm going to learn this way. Mm-hmm. And yet all of it, though, is part of God's plan to know him. It's not in the engine, it's being able to serve somebody else who needs you to help them, right? Our daughter realized now that education of a middle schooler's, yikes, God bless her. She has a passion for it. And so it's like God continues to reveal to us the next thing. And how he's revealed to me how much I loved learning the church through those who are coming into the church.
You know, I think as we're young, we're trained to focus on a life that leads to retirement and being able to have an easy end to our life. And I would counter that as I'm entering into that phase, that should be the time we should be doubling down on knowing the Lord more, practicing virtues more, letting ourselves expand fully into the called disciple that we have been practicing all along, but we have been doing it maybe half-heartedly or intermittently. And the beauty of retirement is we can focus our minds and our hearts to understanding more deeply those things that we just had these little bits and pieces maybe over our adulthood up until the point of which we retire. So I'm looking at that as we have so many people in our church and in the community who are of retirement age, and how much they bring back when they see in light. One of the great couples that I work with in Encounter Ministries, they're in their 70s, and they are so passionate about healing ministry and prophetic ministry. A childlike passion, and that's beautiful. That's what I want to have in my retirement, is to spend that time preparing to go to that room that Jesus has made for me in his Father's house.
Oh, and we know that God has sent other people to that room as well, so that way, well, we can inspire each other and we can all learn from each other throughout our lives. Before we go today, Scott, will you wend us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the intellect and the will that you have given us, that it can be turned to such good in understanding more fully who you are and why we are in your presence daily. As we come to know that this week, may we give thanks to you, and may we recognize your mother as the help for us in our times of need, and undo the knots in our lives. We thank you for this, and we praise you in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdeiradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.